Support Podnuts by going to podnuts.com/Amazon. It'll take you straight to Amazon, do your normal shopping, but with every purchase, you'll be supporting Podnuts. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 309. The show for computer repair techs, by computer repair techs. We get people from all over the world, technicians from all over the world, to come on the show and talk about what they're doing in their computer repair work, their shops, their businesses, their home businesses, on-site businesses, remote, everything. So today we have a great guest on. You've seen him a few times before. I don't know how he freed up enough time in his day with all the royal weddingness that's going on over there. But I'm happy to have John May from evernet.co.uk on the show. What's up, John?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very good, very good. With the royal wedding and everything, you still had time to make the show, huh?
Just about, yeah. All the coverage was wall-to-wall coverage of royal wedding. It was an ordeal for that day. That was all that was on, nothing but royal wedding.
Well, tell me what you said before we started the show.
Apparently, the Americans, the British media covered about the American media covering the royal wedding. Because apparently, you guys are much more excited about it than we are. We apparently didn't care very much.
I'm telling you, I stayed up all night to watch it. And if any of you believe that, then you better not. No, that's all I saw on the news. I literally putting my finger down my mouth after a certain amount of time. It just made me want to throw up. They went crazy about it over here. I don't know what it is. Something about that really gets us going over here.
And they said 2 billion people watched it, and that's like a third of the one out of every three people in the entire world to watch the royal wedding.
It's unbelievable. Nobody wants to watch Podnuts. They all want to watch royal wedding.
You should do like a royal wedding special.
That's true. Those are key words. I'm going to use them. Next show will be the special royal wedding edition, guys. So tell all your friends.
Hey, ring Wills and Kate up for a bit of for their insight into computer repairs.
Oh, God. Sure, they'd have a lot to give. All right, man. Well, thanks for being on the show. Totally appreciate you signing up.
It's great to be. Good to be back.
And you've been telling me that you've had some inspiration from some people on the show. You've been working on some new stuff. Why don't you let us tell us what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm going to go through a few jobs I've had first.
Oh, sure.
The system tool viruses I'm still getting through, and now there's a new one that I've put in the Podnuts forum called the Windows 7 Security Center, and it looks exactly like the Windows 7 Security Center, apart from the fact it's not, and as soon as you exit, it tries to say you need to pay like a yearly subscription to it, but it's got no, it uses the Microsoft branding, it uses Windows 7, it uses everything that Windows does, but it just makes it, it looks really convincing, but it's not really.
Really?
So that's going around at the minute. There's some photos on the Podnuts forums I put on. So it looks very much like the Action Center and the Security Center there. So it'll fool quite a lot of people, I think. So that's
one. When did you post them up?
That was about a week or so ago. So hopefully people have read it. A couple of people have commented on it. So hopefully a few people have now looking at what kind of the things it's doing.
I'm trying to pull it up now. Do you remember the name of the post?
It was in spyware/virus removal. It was Windows 7 Security Center virus.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. Well, I'll throw up some screenshots while you keep talking.
Yeah. So that's one of the ones that are coming in, as such as like system tool, as well as all the kind of scareware that's going on as well. There was a virus that I hadn't seen before, and it didn't seem to be a virus. It just, half the hard drive just disappeared, but it was still there, as in the space was still there. You just couldn't see it. Now it was probably my bad. It took me half an hour to work out they're all hidden. So as soon as you kind of checked view hidden files as well as non-hidden files, they were all there and you just unhide them.
Right.
So that was my bad. It took me half an hour to
get it. No, I mean, a couple guys have talked about what... it just hides what? Their documents and pictures and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it didn't hide everything.
Right.
But it hid most of it. So it kind of looked... I was sitting there going, well, it's half of it's gone, but half of it's still there. So that kind of threw me off a little bit. But eventually I did work out. I was sitting there going, well, the data hasn't changed. There's been no deleting of data out of this.
Right.
I tried to use recover to kind of get it back. And I was like, it's still the same size as it was.
Isn't there a program called unhide.exe that people are using? Is that what you used? Okay, yeah, tell us about
that. There's another forum posting about that by someone else talking about this Trojan, and I only read that after I'd kind of done it, so I was like, oh.
Well, how did you figure it out? Google?
I just by kind of looking at the size, there was only like two folders there, but there was like 80 gigabytes worth of stuff in the folder, and I was like, something's not on here.
Right.
So it didn't look like it was hidden, but it was. So that was an interesting virus that Super NS Spyware got rid of, and it seems to be fine now. So,
run Super NS Spyware, then you have to run this unhide file.
And it'll run unhide.exe, okay. And then it just unhides everything. And it's all still there, so that it doesn't really compromise the data. It just hides it,
Where do you get unhide.exe? Bleeping Computer or somewhere?
I think it was Bleeping Computer. There was a link in the forum. Or if you just type in unhide.exe into Google, I'm sure you'll be able to find it.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, isn't it? That could really scare people.
Yeah, because this one guy... phone me up saying, "Oh, when are you open? Because this is over the bank. We've had two bank holiday weekends, obviously for Easter and then for the royal wedding." So I said, "Well, we're not open until after the royal wedding, like the Thursday." And he was like, "Oh, but I need to do it now." So I logged in remotely to his computer and I was looking at it and it didn't seem right. And it did take me half an hour to work out that it said there were 10,000 documents and there were 80 gigabytes worth of data, but it was just, you couldn't see it. So, because he normally said you could view hidden files, but he couldn't see it anymore. So he must have fiddled around with some of the settings, but eventually managed to get back all his documents and he was very happy. So,
nice. Yeah, that one could give a scare. I could totally see that.
Yeah, he was quite upset about that one. Another one, a girl who came in with a faulty fan. So replaced the fan. Works brilliant. And then she phones me up saying, "No, it keeps turning off. It gets to half an hour and it switches off." So I go back expecting it to be like on fire. It's going to be really hot. So that's why it's going to be turning off.
Laptop or desktop?
Laptop, sorry. Yeah. Okay. It was a Sony Vaio. And
where'd you get the fan?
eBay. It was like £17, which is about $25, $30. Okay. So it was fair enough. And so I was expecting to go back and it's going to be really hot and that's going to be the reason why it overheats. But no, it's lovely and cool. I ran Speccy, which is a Pyraform download, which it gives you like the temperature and all the kind of readouts of the hard drive and the CPU and the motherboard and all the temperatures in Celsius, so you can kind of see whether it's too hot or not. And it was all fine. So I was a bit confused. And then so I opened up Word, nothing happened. Opened up Google Chrome, nothing happened. I tried to browse the internet and the CPU went from 0 to like 100% and just wouldn't. It just like took over the computer, and this is why it was crashing and turning off, because it got to 100% and eventually it just switched off because it just couldn't cope. And eventually she had something like 300 viruses on it, and that was probably my bad. I didn't scan for the viruses, but I was just replacing a fan, so I just swapped the old fan out, put the new fan in,
right.
And then gave it back to her. And then eventually it's turned out that she's got all these viruses, which are kind of making the laptop overheat in the first place, which is probably what damaged the fan.
Okay, so the fan was definitely damaged.
The original fan
wasn't spinning at all? Or?
It was unbalanced a little bit, so it was making a horrific sound.
I gotcha.
So it was just like it kind of teetered ever so slightly to the wrong way, and every time it went round, you could hear this grinding noise against the plastic.
I see.
Which was not good. And she was sitting there going, "Something inside," but it was actually just the needed new fan replaced there.
Right. But
apparently it's the virus as well as an issue as well. So
what did you do in that case? Did you charge her for virus removal?
No, because I felt quite bad, because obviously I had to get first of all, I got the fan in, and it was the wrong fan, so I had to send that back. And then I got a new fan in, and the new fan didn't work, so I had to send that back. And then, because it was the bank holiday, the postman hasn't been in like 2 weeks, so I've just got it back like the other day and gave it back to her. And then she's phoned up again saying, "It still doesn't work." She's been very nice and polite about it, so I'm just tempted to go.
Yeah, in that case. See, plus it's a tough situation too, because there's two different symptoms causing the same problem. Well, I mean, one, the fan was actually damaged, but two, the computer is overheating. So to her, all she knows is her computer's turning off, right? So
yeah, I can see from her perspective, she's given it to me, I've fixed a problem, another problem has now appeared.
Exactly.
So instantly that's my fault. Right. It's not really my fault, but at the same time, how much is it really going to cost me to put it in the dock and then just scan it?
Right,
it's not
exactly
cost me that much. So I'd rather kind of do that and she'd be like, oh, thanks. But then I charge her and then she goes, oh, I'm not paying that.
Exactly.
I want all my money back type thing.
I would do the same thing on that.
So as a business decision, I thought it's better to have a good customer leave and not make as much money than you get loads and loads of bad customers or people who go away with negative impressions of you, but you make loads of money. So I don't know.
No, you're right. That's the way to do it.
So that's what I chose to do in the end. So linking on to business, I want to talk a little bit about business in laptop repairs.
Okay.
No. Lots of people on Podnuts, obviously, laptop repair techies, and quite a lot of them have their own businesses. But at the same time, it's trying to make sure that your business is, you've got the business acumen and business almost skills to be able to pull off a successful laptop repair company or a business in the sense that I know if people listen to the Call That Girl was on Podnuts a few weeks ago, and that was my inspiration to go into remote support. And I know if you can, you buy her ebook, I think it's $100 for the remote support one and $20 for the social media one. They're really useful if you want to try and get into the business to business market, as well as Podnuts Pro. That's also quite good for the step from residential to B2B, business to business sales as well.
Good plugs there. Hey, if you do want to buy Call That Girl's book, you can get it at podnuts.com/callthatgirl. Just so you know.
Yeah. And I got her two ebooks now, and it goes through, it gives you like a 22-point checklist on how to kind of speed up someone's laptop. It gives you like a manual operations of what they do step by step and how all their technicians has to go through that kind of technical know-how before they can, I say, graduate, before they can be able to work at to Call That Girl. So it goes through quite a lot of detail of what sort of remote support tools are good, what they use, what their processes are, business operations, which at the end of the day, quite a lot of people vary, but it's nice to know to get a business plan almost from someone else who's kind of running their own successful laptop repair company.
Very good. So, and you have employees too, right? So You have employees too, people working for you, don't you? So
yeah.
It's a similar deal. It's a similar deal than that like Call That Girl, where she has people working under her. So it's the business plan is probably the book is probably right on for you.
Yeah, I mean it is. The other people who work for me, they do more Mac and Apple support because Adrian loves his Macintoshes and Apples, and he's got iPods, iPhones, whatever. I'm not an Apple person. I'm stuck to my Windows. So I do all the laptops and desktops and Windows that come in, and he does all the Macs. And then the other guy just kind of watches.
James.
He doesn't touch. He watches.
Really? Is he in training?
He's my trainee, almost. So he's not allowed to touch anything. And the two girls, Linda and Fliss, they look pretty. business networking events, they like give out flyers and things. They're more the kind of friendly face of Evernet Sports.
That's great. I love this team. It's like the X-Men here.
I was tempted to put the A-Team, but then I thought that's probably not. I then have to get something. I grow like a massive afro and kind of. It's a bit of a fool. I probably wasn't going to go for that.
That would have been a nice try. It would have been entertaining anyway.
Yes, that would have been certainly entertaining. I also wanted to say, obviously, if you are running your own business and you've got your own website, which is very important, you have to have a picture on it, preferably of you or of you fixing a computer, laptop, whatever, because people don't buy businesses, they buy into people. So if they see a nice photo of you, no matter where you are or what you're doing, it's people relate to people a lot more than they do than just like one of those stock images of a girl with a call center like, oh, call us now.
I know. I can't stomach them anymore. But yeah, and you made a nice point. Make sure it's a nice picture of you. I always say put a picture of you fixing a computer. Don't have it like where you're bent over the thing and people could see your crack. I mean, talking like, you know, maybe you with a screwdriver going in with like a smile, on your face or something, you know, like nice picture. And John's totally right about that. Totally right.
That's probably the most important business tip if you want to succeed as a business. Consumers particularly will not buy. It's not business to business sales. It's business to consumer. The consumer wants something. They want a personable. They want a person to fix their computer. They don't want a business. They want a technician to fix it. And they kind of. So on our website, it says about, and there's like a little description of what we do, and then there's like a little bit underneath, and it says like it's a bit about us. And so, I mean, for example, mine, it says likes cookie dough ice cream because I'm a bit of a Ben and Jerry's addict.
Where does it say that?
About page, sorry.
How old are you, John?
Sorry?
How old are you?
I'm 20. I just turned 21.
21. Okay. Eat as much Ben and Jerry's as you possibly can now because I cannot be an addict, otherwise I'd weigh 300 pounds.
it was on half price in the supermarket today, so I bought tubs.
Good.
So, it's like the little things. It says likes cookie dough ice cream, and I study medical engineering. So it's trying to get people, because people like other people and they like the quirky little things. So, for example, Adrian does climbing. So he puts climbing and he studies media. So people kind of, I say, get to know us without speaking to us type thing. And that's an important personable tip, is you have to have a picture of you. Or at least a picture of somebody real on your website.
That's amazing. This is really good, man. I really like this.
And if you see on the top right-hand corner of that page, or of all the pages, I've also just put in a PC repair tracker tool. I've just upgraded from TSBan to PC repair tracker.
Uh-huh.
And you can see the laptop repair status on the right-hand side. You can type in a work order ID number, and the last four digits are there. Code, and it will come up. So you can put in, for example, 1001 as the work ID number.
Okay.
And then 0684 is the last four digits of the telephone number. This is a test one that I did. And then you can click check repair status, and it should come up. Picked up by customer, my name, I've put details in. And because quite a lot of people phone me up saying, what's happening? What's going on? And it just means that when they bring it in, I can give them a number. I can say, well, this is the number. Use the last four digits of your phone number. Go on our website. Check it for yourself.
Well, what company did this tracking stuff?
It's pcrepairtracker.com.
Is this the one Laffy uses? Not sure.
I think it's the one Laffy uses. It's $200, but if you're an ACRBO member, it's $125.
There you go.
Which is a massive savings. Come on to the ACRBO. I mean, even if it's a free membership, you still get the $75 discount.
Broke up a little bit. You're talking about ACRBO. It's ACRBO.com, right?
It's ACRBO.com, and you get loads of discounts. I mean, you get discounts on I think you get the discount on the laptop repair videos and discounts on quite a lot of things. And the PC repair tracker was definitely something that's worth looking into. And it's $125, but at the end of the day, it saves me quite a lot of work because people can track their own repairs as I'm doing them, rather than phoning me every 20 minutes to see what's going on.
Very good. Yeah, and I'm trying to get Dan Hand, who runs the ACRBO, to come on the show and talk a little bit, so he'll be on soon. He also has a book himself on starting a computer repair business. So check him out. Ooh. He's in the forums there, and he's got all his links in there.
Yeah, I was also reading the UK edition of PC Pro, and there's an article about dodgy repairmen. So make sure the people that you're giving your laptop to are kind of professionals. And Dan Hand from the ACRBO was quoted. He's the spokesman, and he was quoted quite a lot. And he was saying that if you are going to, his advice to consumers, if you're going to give your laptop over, make sure that they're a member of a trade body such as the ACRBO. So if you are looking to kind of go into the business to consumer market, it's free membership. You can buy the professional membership, which I think is $25 a year. But, it's great to stick their little logo and say you're a member of the trade body, and it kind of gives you a bit of status.
There you go. He's actually in the chat room right now. He called me Rick, but he met Steve, and he corrected himself. You know, when you get as big as Dan and as famous as Dan in what, PC Pro Magazine, you forget the little guys like me. So, Dan has been, he's left a ton of great. First of all, a lot of great support of the network. You know, he's in the forums a lot. The ACRBO to me is better than like the BBB. I mean, because first of all, the logo is awesome looking, and it just stamps validity right onto your site. So people definitely do look for that too.
Yeah, and I mean, I put them on all my business cards. I don't know, you might be able to see a nice prime it might come into focus in a minute, yeah. A nice prime center stage saying professional member of the ACRBO.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And obviously on the back is a picture of my lovely team and
the
A-team and like all the things we fix.
Now you say you fix Android, you're an Android repair expert too in your bio here. What do you do for Android?
Mostly repairing screens.
Uh-huh.
Most people don't know the difference between iPhone and Android. So if I say Android, they go, oh, phones! Oh, you know how to replace phone. Like most of the time it's just cracked screens.
Good.
And I say fairly easy. They're not too easy, but they're much cheaper than kind of buying a new phone. So
gotcha.
That's also another business stream revenue you can go down is if you're only doing laptops or you're not getting enough work, you could also try and look at kind of repairing iPhone screens, Android phones, just kind of broadening your horizons as much as possible.
Absolutely. I think it's great.
I was also going to talk about because I know quite a lot of people, if they come in and I say, well, it's not economically viable to repair because I can replace it, but it's going to cost you more than the value of the laptop. For whatever reason, and say, okay, I'll buy a new one. And quite a lot of people buy it through Amazon. So I say, oh, before you buy it on Amazon, go through our link. There's you can get an affiliate link. I think Podnuts has got an affiliate link with Amazon,
yes,
as well, don't you?
Absolutely.
So it's a good way to, I think it's a 3%. So if you can direct a customer through your site, they're buying a laptop at the same price that they would have done, and you get 3% of that sale. So like on a $1,000 laptop, you get $30. I mean, it's not much, but it's better than nothing, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, usually in a lot of companies, it's called being an affiliate of the company. And a lot of websites offer this, and almost anybody could sign up as an affiliate, and you get discounts at all these companies buying through your own link. But the main purpose of it is to have other people sell for that company. And Amazon calls it their associates program. So you just go to Amazon.com, scroll down the bottom of the page, look for the associates link. Amazon is a great... If you're going to sign up for anybody to be an affiliate or associate, basically the same thing, Amazon is the one to do it because they give a really high commission on almost any of their products. Like 3%, you might say, that's it? That's more than Newegg will give you 1%, you know, especially on computers. People who are selling, companies that are selling computers don't want to give you any of that cut because they don't make that much. So the fact that Amazon's given 3 is a great thing to do. And then you do what I did. I mean, make the link easy because the Amazon link you're going to get is this big, long, complex thing. You just make your own URL and direct it towards that. And the way we do it here is podnuts.com/Amazon. And it'll take them right to Amazon's page as if they typed in Amazon.com. It won't look any different, but you will get a commission on the sale. So it's a great thing. If you are going to refer people to go elsewhere to buy computers and you don't want to sell them yourself, this is the next best thing, I think.
Yes, no, I a couple of people said, oh, where can I buy them from? And I said, well, if you buy them through our link and we get a bit of a commission, we'll take a percentage off, like a data transfer service, for example. So like their screen's broken, and I said, well, it's going to be X much to fix. And I said, well, it's 5 years old. I need to get a new one anyway. So I said, oh, if you buy it through our link, we'll give you like 20% off. And people are happy to do that because it doesn't cost them any more. And they know that they're supporting us, and then they know they're getting money back, money off of a future service.
Yeah, and you could give them a percentage off. It's not like you make tons on the affiliate commission, though. But
no, you don't make tons. But I mean, 3% on say like $1,000. I'm not sure how. Mm-hmm. It might be like £400, which is about $700 or so. But I mean, 3% of that is still about kind of £20. 15-20 pounds,
yeah,
which is nice. It's better than nothing, and it's more than I'd give them off. So I'm still making more money than I would have done if I just said go to Amazon on your own.
Exactly. Good point.
So
why don't you sell laptops yourself?
I did consider buying in laptops and then kind of stocking them and then selling them on, but then it was the whole point of I have to have a huge amount of capital to do that. I have to have I've got to have a couple of £1,000 to buy into laptops.
Right.
And I mean, they've got a very short shelf life. I mean, within 3 months, they're already out of date, and who wants to buy an out-of-date laptop as new? So
right.
I thought if people are going to... I can't compete with Amazon on price anyway, so people are going to quite a lot of people are going to go straight to Amazon. So it's like, if you go through us, you get a little bit off as well.
I found the same thing. Yeah, with laptops especially, it's hard to beat some of the prices. But I mean, when I lived near Micro Center, that was a great place. I mean, you could basically say you have a computer for sale for a certain amount of money and then go run out that day and buy it. So you don't have to actually be stocked up there, like your stock room, basically.
Yeah, because I know quite a lot of the things on the Technibble forum and Podnuts forum that comes up when people are starting out are, or what are the parts I should have in stock? And the answer ideally is only the things that you're going to need every day. So like DVDs, blank CDs, things. But I mean, I wouldn't stock every single type of RAM for every single laptop.
Exactly.
I mean, if you order them from Crucial, and I mean, it can be there the next day specifically for that laptop.
Right.
And it's going to save you a ton on startup capital, the money you need to start up. It would just be insane. So
I do have to say, John, also, people, when you become their computer repair tech, they really, I've had people almost beg me to build them a machine when I really didn't want to. Once they do business with you, they want to buy stuff off of you because they trust you. So they are willing, like, so the whole thing about not being able to compete with Amazon or whoever else, I think you actually have some leeway there because they'll pay a little extra because they're buying it off you. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't, and plus most people aren't the most savvy as far as finding sales and stuff. Like, if I want to buy a laptop, I know where to get it cheap, and I'm going to wait till if it's going to go on sale or not. Most people, they just go out and pay. So you're thinking, and in my mind, I used to have this idea like, oh, well, if they go to Best Buy and they see that this thing is $100 cheaper there, they're going to get all pissed off. But I don't think that that's the case because people really want to buy off you, and that's a little extra value for them. So they're willing to pay. So it might be, even though you think you can't compete, I think it still might be worth it to buy a bunch of computers and sell them to people. I didn't do it too much in my shop, but if I had to do it again, I probably would.
Yeah, I mean, quite a lot of people like to buy into, if you said, I think this is the best one, and quite a lot of people will say to me, I'm going to buy a new laptop, what's the best brands to buy?
Right.
And I personally, because quite a lot of my clientele are students, so they're looking for cheap reliability. I tend to go for Acer and Toshiba because they're fairly cheap and they're fairly, I'm not going to say indestructible, they're fairly robust.
Right.
Compared to like Sony's, which are reasonably a bit more expensive, and Apple Macs are just ridiculously expensive.
Right.
So I know everyone has their own kind of niche of what brand they would recommend, but I recommend Acer and Toshiba because they're more the value laptops and they're more the, I say, cheaper, kind of cheap and cheerful type of laptop.
Seriously. So I never had a problem with Acer. I used to sell a ton of Acers, and they always had really nice screens, and they never broke, and they were always a good deal. So I got to give it up for Acer, too.
I've had several Acer and Toshiba laptops, and they all worked fine. Yeah. I never had any problems with them. And I think I had one problem, and I spoke to customer services within like half an hour, and it was all sorted. So it wasn't like sitting in a call center like Dell for hours on end.
Right.
So the customer service is quite good as well. So that's it's a good thing. I also wanted to talk about business networking. If you are going to go into B2B, and this probably more falls into Podnuts Pro, there will be a business networking group near you. In the UK, there's Four Networking, which I'm a part of, and there's also the British National Institute for Networking and things. I'm not quite sure what's in what's in America, but I mean, quite a lot of the time they'll let you go for free for the first two times, and you can kind of gamble or guesstimate how successful or not you'll be by going to business networking.
How is it working out for you?
It's working out quite well. What I'm getting the most amount of money for is, and I'll speed up your laptop. You probably see that there, and it's basically like a plastic stand that I put up on the advertisement table, and it says I'm going to do this, and this. It's got the ACRBO logo. It's got a big picture of a laptop with a exclamation mark on, pretending to be slow, and a big price tag on. people like that. People go, my laptop is slow. It says, is your laptop running slow? Then we can help. So it's more trying to grab people in with a headline and then say, oh, it's this much money. We can do it on your lunch break, so you don't have to bring it in to us. We can do it remotely. So it's all kind of convenient for you, and it's cheaper, and it's better for the environment and all that. So that's what we're trying to push. And we're getting quite a lot of sales from that, just speed up, just people phoning up saying, my laptop's slow, can you fix it?
Where do you put that? When you actually do the networking, what do you each get a table and you put it right on your table?
Yeah, what happens with my networking group is you have breakfast, and there's a big long table where you have breakfast, and there's two big tables where you put all your advertisements. So you put all your business cards, leaflets, flyers, banners down, and so does everybody else. So you get a chance to look at other people's banners, advertisements, and pick their business cards up and special deals, because they call it the bump table. It's just like it's not junk, it's all the advertisements that you put down. You can also pick up other people's special offers as well.
Right.
So I've kind of discounted the price a little bit, so people are thinking they're getting more for their money, and listing what will happen and things, and saying it's going to be convenient for you. You don't have to bring it to me. I can do it over the internet. And people like that. People like the convenience, the fact it's cheaper than normal people. I say normal people get it. And it's a good way for them to kind of get business, and a good way for me to get business, and I can also trade it against their business. So you can almost do it on a trade for trade basis.
Interesting. Yeah, you talked about that before. That might be a really interesting thing to get into. I don't know what they have in the US, but you could probably Google it.
Yeah, I'm sure if you I was reading Call That Girl's ebook on social marketing and networking, and she just said put in business networking into Google, or business networking and your city or town name, and the first one that pops up, just have a look. And usually they'll let you go free for the first 1, 2, 3 times, and then you can kind of gauge whether it's for you or whether it's a bit kind of not for you. It depends. If you're a talkative person, networking is very much you have to be sociable, you have to talk to other people.
Right,
it's not a lot of point going if you don't want to talk to other people. It's fine to just advertise to people and just not want to talk to them. You can do that, like obviously like letters and online advertisements and emails. But networking is a social skill that you do need if you are going to go networking, is to be able to talk to other people and engage them in conversation.
That's probably why a lot of our guys don't do it. Not that they're not antisocial, but techs don't tend to be the most social people around.
Oh, no, it's because I went, and I'm always a bit nervous, and so it's more I had a fear and I went, and now I don't have that fear.
I see.
So every networking breakfast, you have the breakfast, or you have a bit of networking before, you have the breakfast, and then there's a presentation by one of the group there, and they take a little, they give you an insight into their business or their field about what they do. And it's great to be able to, because I've done it a few times now, to be able to actually practice my presentation skills, or I suppose actually do my presentation, show off my presentation skills and build on that for, say, later life. It's character building, they say.
Yeah, well, hey, that's what the podcast did for me.
Yeah,
kind of forced right into it. Yeah,
so that's another part I'm doing. I'm also writing a laptop care book. I say it's about 40-page booklet that's being printed at the minute. That I'm going to be selling. Some of it will go to charity. Some of it I'll keep. And it basically goes through like how to install Prey Projects, which is a tracking software for laptops and desktops. How to install Dropbox, which quite a lot of people don't know about, and it's like you need to have Dropbox.
Who are you going to sell it to? What kind of, like, just regular consumers?
Regular consumers. So they come in, they say, because quite a lot of people say, how can I get more life out of my battery? I say, well, stop leaving it on charge all the time. Because you go into some places and it's on a desk and it's plugged in, and you know it's never been unplugged, ever.
Right.
And then they unplug it and they go, it's only got half an hour battery life. So, well, yeah, because you're overcharging the battery all the time. It's not good for it. And then
do laptops still do that, or they have some kind of back off now where it's not going to kill the battery?
Some of them have back offs. Some of them, like the light will go off when it's fully charged. But quite a lot of them, particularly the older models, models kind of more than a year plus old, which quite a lot of people still have, they just keep, they'll happily pump energy in, and over time the battery will just get worse and worse and worse. At which point I just say, well, take the battery out. If you're running it on mains power, you don't need the battery in.
Right.
So you save the battery a little bit, and people like the kind of free tips you give them. So I've kind of bundled all the free tips into a book that people are going to hopefully buy.
How much are you selling it for?
£10, which is about $15.
Yeah, it's a good price.
And I mean, there's kind of links to Dropbox. This is my referral link on there, so they get a little bit more for Dropbox. So they get like an extra 250 megabytes. I also get an extra 250 megabytes, so I get something out of it as well.
Right.
And I try and market it as you will save more than £10 or $15 worth of breaking your computer. You'll learn how to do better things with your laptop.
Right.
Like, don't keep it in bed and kind of have it on a soft surface all the time, because it will overheat and it will break eventually.
Good idea. What is it, PDF or?
It's PDF at the minute. It's being printed into a. It's similar to. This is where I got the idea from. A friend of mine gave me this Swansea Business Market. It was a 40-page guide on Google Maps and Google Places. So
where does he
get
that?
About 40 pages. That was a local printer in Port Talbot, so okay. About 10 miles down the road. So I'm having it done there as well, because it's a fairly robust book. And
how much does it cost to get that printed up?
That was about £2 per book.
Nice.
And I sell it at 10. So I've said 50% of the profits are going to go to the Stroke Association, who I'm affiliated with. So I'll make about £3 or £4 per book. And so will the charity, so that they'll be good for them and good for me.
Very good.
And it's also just a massive advertisement, because if people have still got it's got my logo, my face on it, people will always remember that.
Very good. Great tips, man.
So, yeah. That's, and also a few little cool things I found on the internet in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
The jelly bean key finder.
Right.
I've always used Prodigy Key for getting serial numbers from Windows and Office, but if you can't actually open Windows, or there's a problem, you can't, if there's a virus in per se and it won't let you open any applications, Prodigy Key doesn't really work. I couldn't really get it to open. So I mean, you take the hard drive out and you put it in a dock, but then you can't use Prodigy Key. Then works on your host OS, not on the operating system of the hard drive you just put in. So Jelly Bean Key Finder actually allows you to look up the key. The keys for all the programs are listed in any Windows directory, so you could have a daisy chain of hard drives with Windows installations on, and you can get the serial number from each one of them just by clicking on the hard drive and finding the Windows installation there.
Yeah, so, I've used it. I've not used Prodigy Key. I've always used Jelly Bean, but haven't used it that much. Probably could use it more.
There is a paid version. You can get loads and loads of different features, but I mean, if you're just going to put a hard drive in a dock and just kind of read the serial number off there.
Right.
It's the free version is far enough. And also Crystal Disk Info I've used for a couple of months now, and quite a lot of people are saying it's quite good. I like it in the sense that it gives you like a blue, yellow or red flag, so you can instantly see whether it's going to die, whether it is dead, or if it's absolutely fine. And that's often, quite an indication if it's kind of hanging on boot, as it's kind of that Microsoft Windows kind of scrolls across and across and it doesn't move. and it's been like this for an hour now, and you put it in the hard drive dock and it's bad. It goes up red and you say, yeah, you need a new hard drive. At which point, put in a new hard drive and it works fine. And they go, oh, thank you very much. Crystal Disk Info is always a good way to because I was using CheckDisk, but that didn't find all the errors it was getting. So Crystal Disk is a nice GUI. It gives you lots of bright colors of what's going
colors.
On.
Does it actually do scans, repair scans, or just does it
it just gives you like the smart scan. Or whatever it is, so it gives you like a list of everything, kind of a color code and the maximum and a threshold. And I don't understand all the numbers, but so long as it's all blue, that's all good. If it's yellow, that's not so good. If it's red, it's dead. It's completely dead. So it's just a good way for me to just instantly see whether it's a hard drive problem or if it's something on the hard drive. So it's just a quick way for me to eliminate the hard drive as a possible cause of a problem, which is. Obviously at the end of the day it's trying to save as much time as possible.
Sure.
So that's a cool thing. I've also found I've got TweetDeck. I'm not sure how many people are on Twitter. I've got Crossloop Pro, and as part of that you get a feed link, so you can look at all the tweets, people who are tweeting with broken laptop. So quite a lot of people who are tweeting with broken laptop, I tried to reply to them saying, what's the problem you're having? I've got a couple of remote repairs that way, actually.
Really?
So, yeah. So you might want to type in like virus laptop or something, and anybody who tweets something about a virus and something about a laptop, it'll pop up in your feed or however you want to view it, TweetDeck or Hootsuite or however you want to manage it. And it kind of pops up, and then you can like direct message them or reply back and say, what's the problem? Can I help? And quite a lot of the time people will ignore you because they think you're trying to sell them something, which at the end of the day you are. But some people do come back and say, oh yeah, I need help. I I don't know where I can get this help. Can you help me? At which point you say, yes. So I've got a couple of remote repairs that way. So that might be a novel and innovative way of getting a few clients.
Sure. Especially if you could figure out the best way to respond to people to get the highest response. That might be kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm still trialing, like, what is best to be more colloquial, like, oh, hi, what's wrong? Or be more professional, like, oh, I'm John from a laptop repair company. So I'm trialing it, and I'll let you know what goes on. I've only used it in the last few days, and I've gotten one or two remote repair jobs. So nice. It might be something people might want to look into.
Yeah, let us know your results. I'm curious, too.
Yeah, particularly if like people are like hashtagging like your state or your town area, you might be able to fix more hardware problems that way. So that might be a good way to do it.
Hmm.
I'm almost out of stuff. Have you got voicemails and emails
got
to do?
Got a ton of them, actually.
Good. Can I just finish on one thing then?
Yeah, it's...
I work at the university. I'm a student at the university, but I also am part of a society that does business consultancy called SIFE, which is Students in Free Enterprise, SIFE. So we put on an offer for the next academic year for anybody, particularly businesses who might not know whether their marketing is correct or they need help with their business plan or they are encountering problems with their business. There's a form on my website. That's evernet.co.uk/SIFE. And there's a form there. You put in your name, business number, and Skype address and a couple of problems you're having. And we can look at kind of marketing review, business review, or both, and just kind of work to try and, I say, better local businesses, or even in this case, international businesses, to make a business consultancy to make your business go further.
Did you start? Is this you? You started this?
Oh no! This is part of the society I'm with. So
okay,
I'm the fancy title is corporate relations executive.
I like that.
So I look after the corporate projects. It is a free service, but we do ask for a donation that will goes towards funding our social projects, which are like getting homeless people into jobs, creating jobs for kind of disabled people. So there is a donation. You don't have to give us a donation. There's no obligation to give us a donation. There's just a recommended donation. If you find our service saves you lots of money, it might be a nice idea to donate.
Well, that's great. And it's free. I mean, you're offering it for free. It'd be great if people donated, obviously, but it's free business advice, basically.
Yeah, there's 20 business students at Swansea University, and we're all part of this team. And what we want to do is get more experience. So quite a lot of people have kind of blinkers on. So my business should be set this way. And quite a lot of the time, a fresh pair of eyes might say, actually, you could do it this way. You could save yourself a ton of money, a ton of time by doing something different, ever so slightly different. And they might have gone, oh, actually, no, I didn't think of that before. So it's just trying to get young, energetic people on the case, as it were, to kind of make sure that your marketing, we also offer to kind of redesign your marketing. If I know my marketing was terrible when I started, and now I think it's quite good. So if your posters look a bit drab, or your business is encountering problems that you can't really solve, or you might think that kind of students might be able to solve it, just put in your email address and your name and a couple of contact details, and we'll be in touch to kind of arrange kind of a Skype contact, a Skype call, and try and work some things out.
Definitely. Guys, I mean, take advantage of this. You've seen John's marketing. Everything he brings to the show is really, really good. So, I mean, the proof, John has proven here to me. So for him to offer, and this group to offer that advice, I think it's a great thing to take up. You should check it out. evernet.co.uk/SIFE. I like it. Thanks, John.
So, yeah. I was just going to talk about the article that Dan Hand wrote about the ACRBO, and that if you are kind of advertising to consumers, you should definitely put the ACRBO logo on whatever you're putting. You should put that on. You should also put a picture of you on, as well as on your website. And that will, not many people do it, so you will stand out from the crowd.
Good advice, man. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I mean, even from the posters and stuff that you showed me, your sign, the ACRBO logo is awesome. I have to admit, it's awesome.
Yeah, it is great. And it comes in a variety of colors as well. So you can't say, it doesn't go with my color scheme. There's a blue, there's a purple, there's a pink, there's a green, there's a black, it's free to join the website. It's acrbo.com, I think. Mm-hmm. And you get loads of discounts on loads of stuff that you might be interested in. You might not be interested in, but it's free membership. Why not have a look?
And Dan says, John, talk about the new signature you're using in the forums.
Oh, yes. on the forums, I've got a new signature. I paid $50 or £30 to have my signature professionally done. So if you look in the forums, you'll see I've started a thread in the business/marketing/advertising. And there's a link to a bigger version of it. And there is a small version there.
This one?
I have a picture of all. Yeah. That's my... there is a bigger version on the thread I've started, but that's kind of a smaller version of my team, the offers that I'm offering kind of each month to the business network that I'm part of, and kind of bits and bobs about us.
Very cool. Awesome. All right.
So there we go.
Thank you very much, John. Anything else before we do emails and voicemails?
No. Contribute to the forums, because... there's always people like myself and Daughter Door Geek and loads of other people are always on there. So if you ever get stuck, or if you ever, there's no shame in admitting that you need help. So go on the forums. That's what it's there for, is to help and support people from Podnuts. So forums, get on the forums.
Absolutely. It's podnuts.com/forums. You know, I get lots of email daily on, Steve, how do you fix this? How do you fix this? And I'm like, the guys in the forums know more than me. Trust me. And I always send them out there, and they never come back saying, yeah, the forums didn't work. So that's the place to go.
Yeah, so some people sign up, and it is great. So it's a great learning resource.
Yes. And now it is time for emails. We got one from Marty here. He says, hey, Steve, I have an HP Presario CQ60 laptop with the following problem. It runs fine till I do something like run a video. Then it gets blue screen to death and restarts. The event viewer shows critical error kernel power event ID 41, which from what I've read can result in too little of voltage. It also bombs on a CPU stress test, and the error from that also indicated low voltage. I'm using aftermarket, parentheses, cheap power supply and battery, both of which are new. The power supply is providing 18.5 volts, but my question is, could the power supply still not be putting enough power to handle this demand? Does the same thing with the battery in or out? Or is it most likely the motherboard is not transferring power sufficiently? By the way, I'm still using the laptop repair videos and still loving them. Thanks from Marty. And I told him, the power adapters, the cheap ones, it's like power supplies for desktops. You could usually tell how good they are by the weight. Now, here's the thing. Voltage is one thing. You have to get the right voltage. So if it's 18.5 volts, you get an 18.5 volt power adapter, if that's what the laptop calls for. But the amount of juice that you can actually put through this adapter is the amperage, amps. So if you get an 18.5 volt power adapter with 2 amps, that might be too low. It probably is. If you get one with like 10 amps, but the same voltage, but higher amps, then you got a nice heavy brick. A 10 amp brick's going to be big. Mainly they go between, I see them at like 4, 5, and 6, depending on your laptop, is how much amps that these power adapters put out. I'll bet you that yours is on the verge of being too low, and I would say it's definitely the power adapter that's causing your problem here. I would not put my money on the motherboard. That's why every time I look for parts like that, I always type genuine first in the search. If you're looking for one for a power adapter for a Dell, type Dell genuine AC adapter and whatever the model number is, and try to get a genuine one for a good price. Otherwise, you could get third-party ones, but make sure they're putting out enough amperage. And even if the amperage is supposed to be good enough, they might be just still too crappy to even work at all. So it's my suggestion. John?
I only will buy parts in that say genuine. If people say, I need a new battery, I'll say, that's going to be £50. And they go, I can buy a cheap one on Amazon for like a tenner. And I go, yeah, but if you buy it for a tenner, I'll see you back in 6 months when it's blown up.
Right.
I try and stress to people, it is more expensive. It is generally 2 to 3 times more expensive for a genuine one than a third-party one. But I said, you will have to spend so much more in repairs to kind of undo the damage.
Right.
Because, I mean, obviously at that point, I'd say the battery and the power adapter, that is the problem. But it now may have permanently damaged some of the internal workings. So now it might be too late to undo that damage, at which point, was it worth the difference between the third party and the genuine one?
Exactly.
A couple of people I've ordered power adapters for, it's like £30, and they say, I can get one for £5 on eBay. I go, well, I'm buying it on eBay, but I'm going the genuine one. But if you want to buy a cheap one, I'll see you back in a few months.
Right.
And they always come back and go, oh, no, I should have listened to you. Really? Oh, yeah, you should have done.
That's funny.
I have virtually no sympathy for those people who ignore my advice and go straight ahead with it. I know I could buy cheaper parts, but I'm not confident in those cheaper parts. I would happily buy the genuine, like it says HP on the side of the charger, because I know that will be the charger that specifically for that laptop.
Right.
Anything else is just ridiculous, in my opinion.
It's going to come back at you if it doesn't work. I mean, especially if you buy it and don't tell them, like, there's a third party. So, you're just trying to maintain the quality of your business. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I make much more of a markup on the genuine ones, but I mean, I could make so much more of a markup on the third-party one, but I know it will come back. Exactly. I know it will come back.
Yes.
So it's cheaper in the long run just to buy a genuine one and charge them more. So
there you go.
My opinion.
It's a good opinion. Josh says, hey, Steve, just got an email from Google that may be of interest to the listeners. As of May 10th, if you sign up to use Google Apps to host your domain's email, the free version, they are limiting your number of users to 10, down from the 50 that they give you now. So if anyone was thinking about getting a domain and free email, they should do it before the 10th. Keep up the good work, too. That is from Tens. Thank you, Tens. Yeah, I think we got two emails about that. Thank you guys for giving us the heads up on that. Yeah, this is from Jerry. He says, if you think you might be interested in setting up the free version of Google Apps anytime in the future, now would be the time. The limit is currently 50 users for the free version. Used to be unlimited. Luckily, we set ours up under unlimited and currently at 380 users for free. Wow. But as of May 10th, any organization that signs up for a new account will be required to pay the Google Apps for Business will be required to use the paid Google Apps for Business product in order to create more than 10 users. That's from Jerry. Thank you both, Jerry and Tens, for the advice. Buy your Google apps while you can, or sign up while you can. Another one from Jerry said, I had a program that wasn't installed and I couldn't figure it out. Nothing would happen when I clicked the next button to continue the install, not even an error. Separately, I figured out that something was wrong with VB scripts running. I found this link that I shortened. It's bit.ly / VB script fix. That's the link. He says, that explained the problem and the fix. Just make sure to search the registry and make the changes anywhere that the registry keys is referenced, including the SysWOW64 listing on x64 systems. Okay. Okay, well, I should have read his subject email, as the subject line, before reading the email. This is the problem he's trying to fix. Unexplained install failing. Fix Windows unable to run VBS scripts caused by McAfee. So that's what we're fixing here. So he had a program, wasn't installing. Okay, where was I? Just make sure to search your registry and make sure this changes anywhere that the registry key is referenced, including the SysWOW64 listing on X64 systems. Some McAfee products change a registry entry for running VB scripts. The install worked after this fix. It must have needed to run a VB script to initiate the install. I could see this causing different random issues for people who have uninstalled McAfee. Fix Windows unable to run VB scripts also fixes... Okay, so it's bit.ly/vbscriptfix. That's bit.ly/vbscriptfix. Thanks, Jerry. All right, we got May 1st. Here's Rob. Wow, this is a long one to see. Okay, well, that's actually not a long email. We had a long back and forth conversation about this one. Hey, Steve, I have an HP DV5 from a client that will not power on. I tried checking the charging cable, as in the video, and I'm getting the right voltage from it. The only light I get is the one on the DC jack itself. No other lights have any activity. I've tried reseating the RAM and the hard drive. Is it possible that the DC jack itself could be bad and have the light on the jack still work? Again, the lights on the front left side do not light up. Could that mean that the power from the jack is not reaching the board? I've tried it with and without the battery as well. Thanks again for all your work with all the podcasts and videos. You offer a great service and your products are great as well. That's from Rob. Thank you, Rob. Yeah, if you got a laptop and you're plugging the power adapter in, and some laptops have that little LED on the power, around the power tip there. I think that's, the DC jack actually has a light. That's lighting up, but when he tries to power it on, nothing else is. It sounds like, initially, to me, bad motherboard, because I know in that laptop, I think that jack is connected through a cable to the motherboard. It's not actually part of the motherboard. But anyway, what I told him to do is if he could possibly find a battery that's charged for that machine and put it in there, don't even use the AC adapter, just put a charged battery in there and try to power it on. That'll really tell you if the motherboard's fried or not, to me. If it does power on, then I think the motherboard's okay. And then you should look at the DC jack as the problem and try to fix it somewhere between the jack and the motherboard. Or maybe the power adapter even could be bad. But if you tried it with a charged battery and the thing's still not powering on, I would say you got a bad motherboard on that one. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, instantly that just sounds like the power isn't getting from the charger to the board, or at least not through the board to the lights at the front. So there is a problem. I mean, if it's a cable, it might just be that the cable... I mean, I've seen a couple of where the cables have just been a bit too tight and they've just gotten a loose connection. So you might just make sure that it's all free and that it's all connected up the way it should be.
But if you plug a battery in, then you know that it's not... The AC adapter is not the problem.
Yeah.
If it works.
Yeah.
But if the battery doesn't work, then troubleshoot it like you're saying, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you can get like a voltmeter or continuity tester and just kind of test whether things are going through the board. Obviously, at this point, if the battery doesn't turn on, and then if nothing's going through the board, it's pretty much dead, I'd imagine.
Yeah. All right. Next email is from Sam. Hey, it's Sam here again. I'm still a faithful listener of your podcast. I have another computer problem. I sorted an iTunes problem using System Restore. It's a long story. And it made copies of lots of folders and renamed them, i.e., blog temp file was copied and renamed blog temp file 2. So if you had a folder named blog temp file, it was copied and renamed blog temp file 2. Now I have sorted my computer out and organized the folders more or less, and I cannot rename blog temp file 2 or delete it. It just shows an error message. Any suggestions? That's what I told him to go to the forums. But so if he's not able to change or rename a file, it's probably permissions, isn't it?
I was going to say, like, security, if a program's created it kind of whilst in some kind of weird system restore, I mean, I've done it, most of the system restores I do very well, but there's one or two of them that the permissions just skew ever so slightly. So I'm going to say permissions, or it might be something denying access to the drive or something for that particular part, but I'd say it's permissions more likely.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, go into security and change your permissions if you can. Then, like you said, if the application that's using that file is running, it might not let you do anything to it either. So I don't know what error message you're getting. That might have helped. If you post it in the forums, they'll sort you out. But if say you're running iTunes and it needs that file, then it's not going to let you delete it if it's using that file. So that might be another thing. Close down all your programs and then try it.
Yeah, because I know iTunes Helper sometimes runs in the background, and if that's using those files, you won't be able to do anything with it until you kill the background iTunes application, like iTunesHelper.exe service, and then try and do it. That might be a better way of going around it.
What does iTunes Helper do? I always disable it.
I think it's supposed to be something that it makes iTunes startup seconds. It just cuts a few seconds off iTunes. Okay. But I mean, I haven't got an iPhone anymore, so it's not a point me to disable that.
Right.
Saluto is a good tool for that. Just getting rid of all that. It kind of gives you a list of all the good stuff to get rid of, the stuff that you might need to get rid of, and all stuff you should never get rid of.
Saluto. Good one.
Yes. I think Door-to-Door Geek talked about that. This is like probably about a year ago. Anything that comes in, I put Saluto on, and people go, oh my God, it takes so much time to boot up. People love it.
Nice. So, yeah, but people love their boot up times when you fix that.
They do, yeah.
All right, this is a YouTube video. Let me play this here, see what happens.
Is this the clean the fan one?
No, this is actually pretty good. It's a log me in commercial. Rodney sent this in. He said he saw it on the Science Channel today. It's pretty funny. Actually, I watched this. It's not bad. My favorite guy is the guy at the end.
Oh darn! Oh shucks! Oh. Shoot! Rats!
Leave a file behind, and you're in it. Deep.
Oh, too bad.
But with the Log Me In Ignition app on your iPad, you can directly control any computer like you're sitting right in front of it. Plus, take files with you. So with Log Me In, you can truly work from anywhere.
Holy sweet.
Log Me In Ignition. Available on the App Store.
Here's a for Log Me In Ignition. But it's great.
Isn't it like $40, that app?
Yeah. But I've heard it's, it's amazing. I heard it's really awesome. I heard it's really awesome. No, serious. I heard it was really good. I can't remember who got it. Reliant or somebody got that. I can't remember who. I'm sure they'll tell me if they're in the chat. But it was a funny commercial because they're replacing all their cursing with not as vulgar language. And the guy at the very end, he's like, oh. Or no, he's like, holy sweet. All right. Thank you, Rodney, for that. I enjoyed it. Let's see here. This is from Ben. I've been listening to your show now for a while now. And I'm very excited to open my own computer repair shop. However, there's some things that I'm uncertain of how to do and was hoping you could help me out with them. Could you direct me towards how you got started from the beginning? What invoicing software did you use? Where did you get your legal contract from? Where did you get your computer parts vendors from? Things like that. Thank you for all your hard work and advancing me so much towards my dream. Ben, it's really simple. Listen to Pod Nuts Daily. Listen to Pod Nuts. Listen to all the episodes. All your questions will be answered and you will feel really good about starting a business. That's my best advice for you. I mean, they're very broad questions and those are literally the best answers I can give you because not only do I tell you how I did everything, but everybody who comes on the show, I'm always asking, like, how's your business going? How did you start it? So they tell their stories, too. You're going to get a wealth of information. If you want to just jump right in and start in your business, I recommend the Tech Website Builder at techsitebuilder.com. Yes, it's my product, but why did I put it together? Because it's basically a blueprint of exactly how I started my business. So that'll help you, too. Check that out. Anything on this one, John?
Legal contracts, Technibble. Just for like the business contracts, if you were looking for business documents or procedures type thing, Technibble's business kit is probably a good idea.
Definitely. Very good advice. All right, let me do one more here. Then we got a couple still more for next week. This is a MacBook Pro story from Justin. Hey guys, just wanted to share one of the first real jobs I had. But first, a little background. I'm 16 years old, still in high school. My, quote, business is really just a business card, and I do all the jobs on the side whenever I really want to. Since I'm not living off it yet, it doesn't really matter whether or not I get jobs left and right just once every few months. I really only used to do stuff for family, then friends, mostly computers, then iPods, replaced iPod broken glass left and right, probably got 5 of them done in a single week, paid $25 for the parts, and was on my merry way, charge around $60. Since the students have a hard time paying even a dime. That's not a bad deal. Since then, I've worked on a few computers, but never really charged anything unless they wanted to pay. Who wants to pay, Justin? No, I'm just kidding. People probably did. And in which case, more like $20. Not bad for a few hours of work whenever I want to do it. It still is bad, actually, Justin, just so you know. I understand you're 16. Just say 100 instead of 20. Just see what happens, just for fun, next time. Anyway, let me read. I'll read about your job now. Then I got this job. My friend, who I had done an iPod fix for, had recommended me to his uncle. His uncle, I think, Justin, you did do this, so good job. His uncle used to also do computer repair, just didn't have the time to fix this MacBook Pro. Since I was new, I just threw out a number, $220. $100 for labor and roughly $120 for parts. He accepted it with no sweat. Took the laptop in and was pretty straightforward. This MacBook Pro was about 5 years old and it was first generation. Both fans were completely dead. I replaced those. Easy peasy. The next was a bad hard drive. I cloned it using Super Duper and Carbon Copy Cloner. Re-imaged, updated the Snow Leopard, and presto, all done. To be honest, this was the first time I had ever laid a screwdriver next to a laptop, and the MacBook was a breeze. a podcast to listen to, an iFixit manual on the screen, and I went to town. Everything was replaced with my sweaty fingers probably within the hour. You should be a writer, Justin. This is a very descriptive email. I mean, the imagery in it is great. I like it. Good storyteller. He says, anyways, I guess I'm just saying that before, I never used to touch laptops. It was broken. I would take it to the shop. But now after this, a couple screws, the whole thing was in pieces. I take it that the cheaper laptops aren't going to be this as fun, though. I also wanted to mention that apparently passing out business cards to just a few friends works pretty well. Had a teacher confront me about working at a swim meet where I'll just be entering the score, managing the equipment, pretty lightweight stuff, while also being paid $40 an hour for 5 hours. And during school hours, pretty sweet. I'll wrap it up now. Sorry for the long mumbo jumbo. And thank you for the podcast. Makes my commute a breeze. That's from Justin. I want to tell you here, Justin. Oh, the cheaper laptops, I think they're actually easier than the MacBook Pro. Try them. They'll come apart a little bit easier. I guarantee that. And it's almost like playing with Legos, the cheaper laptops, where the MacBook Pro, it's like taking a car, like being a mechanic on a car. So I think they're actually a little bit easier. So go for it on the cheaper laptops. I think you'll have good success. Charge more money. You know, well, you did throw out a pretty good number to your friend's uncle there. But start high and then come down. See what happens. I think you'll make more money and you'll be able to buy some cool stuff.
Yeah, I know Chris did a Podnuts. It was just a Podnuts on making selling yourself. He's a very good salesman, isn't he? And he was talking about you have to set a competitive rate, but not like cheap rate. You have to value yourself. Otherwise, you can't start really, really cheap and then put your prices up. It should be the other way around. You should be putting them really, really high and then adjusting them downwards, because right. You can never really go up. You can always go down.
It's true. And Chris, I guess to paraphrase him, I think he said something like, you know, he found what the competitors are charging and then charge a little bit more. Because yeah. like John said, the value is you're getting Chris. So that's Chris Barry. He was on the name of that Podnuts. I can't remember the episode number, but it was It's Okay to Make Money, I think was the title. So check that out. But good job, Justin. Thanks for the email, man. I totally appreciate it. All right, John, what do you want to end off on here? Because we're going to wrap it up.
Last thing I'd say, if you are looking to more consumer or student places, I find very good success with as a fridge magnet and giving them out to people. I went into a student accommodation and they had 10 of my magnets holding up like photos on the fridge. They had loads of my magnets. They had so many copies of my number. I don't think they'd ever forget who to call. So fridge magnets might work well if you're kind of targeting kind of more home based, or even the small offices, they stick them on office cabinets. So they're kind of quirky little giveaways. So
oh yeah,
something to think about.
People love magnets. I have to say,
people love magnets.
Magnets
yeah.
are fun,
but not on the side of the computer though. That's not good.
You tried that?
No, I did think about it. I thought, oh, I'll stick it on a desktop. I thought, oh, that's not a good idea, is it?
I don't know if that'd be that strong. I don't know. That might still work. I don't think it'd be that strong.
I just don't want to chance it. Why do I stick it on someone else's computer and then right. they ring me up and go, your magnets balls took my computer.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Well, thanks very much again for being on the show, John. Always a pleasure.
Great to be here, yeah.
Cool. And also, thanks everybody for watching and listening and streaming the show. That's going to be it for Podnuts Daily for today, and we'll see you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.